Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. It is I, Puma, along with Black Thor and Ice Water. And Black, I must have knew when I was programming these shows a month ahead of time that I would be in first class in the NFL pick and play this song, The Big Payback. It's overtime, y'all.
You earned it, baby. You earned it. You earned it. Enjoy it.
Kicking ass and taking names. Ice Water.
Whoa.
You
whoa.
Ow.
All right. Make sure you catch the first 40 on YouTube on the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show, our video page up on YouTube. We just finished the first 40 where we talked about a lot of subjects. And, Black, I'm going to give you the first opportunity. Anything in the first 40 that you want to bring to overtime?
Woo-hoo! Let's do the Kevin Durant thing, man, because that's kind of it's something that may not be getting a lot of attention, but we touched on it quite a bit. But it might be another angle to kind of hit, because one thing we did kind of scratch the surface of it is something's wrong with something that's missing. It's just constantly seems like he's seeking validation of some sort. He puts himself out there. He almost even kind of reminds me of Kobe Bryant a little bit. Kobe Bryant is always looking to get attention. But Kevin Durant's still playing. So it just seemed like he finds a way, in my opinion, when no one's talking about him, to kind of basically look over here at me. I'm a little spoiled brat. Pay attention to what's going on. Here are my feelings.
Yeah, I kind of get the feeling after this and reading the articles that no matter what's going to happen, it's something that's bothering him, that it's an itch that he can't scratch, and he's not going to be happy until he scratches that itch. And I don't even know if he knows what the itch is, because it seems like some people will say, well, he needs new motivation. He needs a new challenge and all that other stuff. I don't see it that way, because if it was me, and I'm with a team like the Golden State Warriors, I'm staying there, and I'm creating a dynasty. I'm staying there, and I want to be talked about with teams like the Lakers, the Bulls, and the Boston Celtics if I'm him. But it just seems like that's not what he wants. Maybe he wants his own team. Who knows what he wants, Ice?
I don't think anybody really knows but him, because first he said it was about a championship, and he got that. He got a couple of them. And now he moves on. I don't know. Like, people talk about the Draymond Green incident or incidents. But I don't know. It appears like he wants to play with his friends now, playing with Kyrie Irving and now DeAndre Jordan. So who knows? The other thing, too, is maybe he wants to go back closer to home. He's from the D.C. area. And Brooklyn is on the East Coast. I don't know, man. I mean, until he says it, I'm not sure, but it does give off a different vibe from many people. I have no idea, but I think it comes back to why some other people may have questions as to why he's doing it, then there are other ones that are really still pissed off, as I told you before, about the players controlling their own destiny. That really pisses them off, because literally, Kevin Durant Kyrie Irving, and they brought along DeAndre Jordan. We're playing for the Nets. That's what we're playing for. I think the general manager even found out about it via Twitter or somewhere. He didn't even know about it. That's what that tells you a lot. Or the coach, one of the two. They just said, this is where we're going, and that's what they were able to do.
All right. All right, so you have any stories you want to bring over to the overtime on the Boom Squad Sports Radio show?
Yeah, you talked about the picks. Might as well go there for a minute. I was quite impressed by the Baltimore Ravens. I know the Dolphins have been in shambles, but just what Baltimore was able to do in Jackson to be able to move the ball and stand in the pocket, even though nobody was really trying to touch him, I thought it was a good base for them. One other thing on the picks, I'll say congratulations to you. I know you're excited about it. You should be first week, but I understand it. You got to take your, you got to enjoy your birthday. When is your birthday? It's your birthday. Today's your birthday. But one other thing, you got to celebrate your birthday. So happy birthday. But anyway, the Atlanta Falcons, what a travesty right now. And they're looking, saying it's the offensive line, but what the hell is wrong with Matt Ryan? You have two of the you have one of the premier wide receivers. They just gave him his money, Julio Jones. You have a decent tight end, decent running back. You also have the other wide receiver as well from Alabama. And they're not catching touchdowns. They're not catching real good balls. Other people are catching balls, and I have to look to Matt Ryan. You looked at the offensive coordinator, and I'm saying to myself, Matt, you got to take some of this burden on because there's no reason why they shouldn't be scoring more points. They scored 12 points. Minnesota's defense is good, but they're not that dang on good. That is a travesty.
Yeah, I know we talked about it when Black Men Talk. We talked a little offline about the NFL, and I said it's Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is the problem in Atlanta because there's no way Julio Jones should not have a touchdown. No way. I mean, you paid him all that money. He's one of the best in the league. And the other thing with the Miami situation, I think Miami, the team, quit on that coach because what he did to that player when the JC incident went down, I think he lost that team, and I don't think he's going to get him back. But your views on those two subjects that Ice brought up.
Well, I got to tip my hat to the Ravens, man, because this is a team that drafted a quarterback that we weren't sure about when they drafted him, and they're committed to basically making it work with him. They have done whatever's necessary. They have a new general manager. Ozzie Newsome drafted him, but they have a new general manager that just stepped right in and made the team surround himself around him. And they, whatever his skill set is right now, and this obviously worked in the offseason. This probably has done some work. The way he was slinging that ball on Sunday, I know the offense might have laid down, but his passes didn't show anything other than the greatness, man. He was slinging it very well. But I love the way they committed themselves to basically having him be their starting quarterback. They've kind of took the offense and kind of run around his skills, and that's how they're going to play. They're going to be a tough team to beat, man. They can pound the ball. He can throw it. Their defense is not bad. They're going to be a real tough team to beat. I take a different perspective. I'm not saying Matty Ice is not the problem in Atlanta, but when I look at Atlanta, I mean, I think the head coach is part of the problem as well. But to me, they have yet to recover from that Super Bowl loss, man. That loss to me, that team, the mentality has yet to recover. They have yet to play good football in a consistent state since that Super Bowl loss. When you think about it, they was up that high and got embarrassed. It seems like they've been chasing Intel ever since, man. They've really just been chasing Intel and can't get things done. So, yeah, I mean, I thought for sure I picked them to lose the game, but at the same time, I thought they'd score more. And I said this Sunday, man, no disrespect to Julio Jones, but you give this cat all this money and he doesn't score anything. I mean, he's a great receiver, but he doesn't score a touchdown. I'm not saying it's his fault. But, you know, I like the way he played it, too. Homeboy was Saturday, like, you know, I may play tomorrow, I may not play tomorrow. And then that contract got signed Saturday night. So, you know, he went about his business. Everybody's talking about Zeke and everything else. Julio was gangster. He kept his mouth shut and just waited to on the eve of the game. And like, you know what? I might show up tomorrow. I may not show up tomorrow. Even though I went to training camp and they go, I may not play tomorrow. I wish those players had that same type of gangster when it came down to supporting Colin Kaepernick, and things would have been a lot different.
Mm-hmm. So let's go to last week's eye test. I'm going to stay with you on this one, Black. Some of the games that stood out for you in the NFL before we go to our picks. Give me your eye test on some of the NFL games that caught your eye.
I got to start with Minnesota, man. They're running back. You know, they're Minnesota seemed like this year they're committed to pounding you with the ball. Yes, they can throw it if necessary, but they want to really run the ball and run it at you, and that's what they're committed to. Even though Green Bay didn't have a good game, you kind of see that they can kind of put it together. It may take them a little while. They might get going. I'm not that impressed with San Fran, even though they won. I think that quarterback is still not – I think he's overpaid, and that's going to kind of prove itself out. The All of the Houston, man, played a grudge match on Monday night, man. These two teams went at it. I love Deshaun Watson, but that cat's not going to make it a whole season, bro. He's not going to make it. I can't believe they come back. They still can't protect him. They still can. If they can just give him some protection back there, I mean, he's ready. That team could be ready, but, you know, he's going to – by week six, my prediction is he's not going to be playing. If he keeps running around and doing all that, he's not going to be playing. I know we talked about this a little last week, man, but the cat, he's playing for a contract. With the cat with the Houston Texans, with the Seattle. That rascal, man, balled out on Sunday, bro. Yes, sir. Clowney balled out on Sunday, man. Seattle's sitting there licking their chops because they got a steal for about $8 million for this year, man. I don't know what's going to happen after this year, but that cat played. He played on Sunday, man. If he wasn't basically the quarterback, he was basically in pressure. They moved him all around. He's in a nice place now. And it's interesting, if you notice, he wasn't there for Houston on Monday, and you didn't hear J.J. Watt's name. Think about that. You didn't even hear J.J. Watt's name for the entire game. So a lot of times you look at J.J. Watt getting off, and maybe Clowney, but maybe Clowney was allowing him to get off. So we always look at it the other way around, but I think the Texans throughout the season are going to miss the fact that they allowed him to go.
All right. All right, give me your eye test of some of the games that stood out to you this last weekend in the NFL.
Yeah, the Seattle game was quite interesting. The Bengals were right there with them. Seattle still trying to find ways to win. And you gotta take your hat off to them for that. Thoroughly impressed by it because we dogged this team last year and we talked about how we didn't think they were going to get it done. You got to be impressed by the victory by Tennessee over Cleveland, 43-13.
Mm-hmm.
They came totally after Baker Mayfield and the whole crew, and they made plays on defense. They took care of the ball on offense. It wasn't pretty, but they did just enough to really dominate their team, which to me, the reason why they won was a total team effort, and it showed Cleveland what they weren't doing properly. So I was really impressed by them. I don't know what they're going to do the rest of the year, but I think that they had a full service effort there. And last but not least, even though they didn't play the greatest game, they had to come back. I think that Carson Wentz realized that it's good to have an old vet that can get up the field. And I'm talking about Deshaun Jackson. You talk about somebody glad to be back in Philadelphia, to be out of Tampa. You talk about a guy that was just as happy as can be, and I think that him stretching the field is going to open the door even more for Philadelphia. They had a little slow start, but I think things are going to start opening up for them, particularly if they start their running game picks up for them. So that's what I had.
Yeah. Let me start with Dallas and the Giants. And me and Black were texting back and forth. The Giants have no defense whatsoever. And, you know, Eli still has those bad habits. I'm not sure about this new quarterback that they have waiting in the wing. But it just seems like, to me, Black, is sometimes they just don't know how to give the ball to DeBarkus. They just don't know how to use him. And they're trying to do other things. And Dallas just embarrassed them. They scored the first drive. I kind of like, okay, this might be a game. And then after that, Dallas just went to town on them. And that was depressing. Along with the Pittsburgh Steelers, that was depressing watching them. It's just like they'd had no fight in them. And what I think, and this is why I think the New England Patriots are going to go back in the AFC if Kansas City doesn't clip them is that now, more than ever, New England is in Pittsburgh's head. They're in their head. It's almost like they're saying, you know what, we can't beat this team. No matter when they play them in the playoffs in the regular season, it's a head thing because they were playing like, okay, we're just going to go through the formalities and, you know, we're just not going to win this game. Nobody stood out. Nobody kind of said, you know what, I'm going to take the reins and be the man on this team on offense. Defensively, they're just not there. And Black is always saying that Mike Tomlin, it's time for him to go. And that night I had to think about that. Maybe they need a new voice that can get them going in the league. I didn't get to see the New Orleans and Houston game, but I'm going to check it out on the NFL Network. Oakland and Denver, I was surprised that Oakland really kind of took Denver to task, but you still have the same old Flacco, and he doesn't seem to be in a rush to get downfield or make plays for that team. And it's kind of sad to see that Denver had a defense, but I don't know what the defense is. But I think that with that head coach, he's probably right now tooling up for the Chicago Bears, a team that he used to coach for. Maybe he'll have an inside track and beating them with that defense. And with that game, I do think that Denver's offense is much better than Chicago's offense. Speaking of Chicago, everybody figured out that when you don't let Trubisky run, that he can't play quarterback. And that's what the Packers did to him last Thursday. And everybody saw it on national TV, first game of the season. And they're embarrassed. They are very embarrassed. And I think they were embarrassed, and they knew this had a chance of happening when they were going to be the showcase team on Thursday. And they switched that game from the Super Bowl champs to the rivalry game. And so here's what I would say to Bears fans is that if you look at NFL teams, they usually have a marquee player on defense or players on defense and marquee players on offense that you can build your offense around. The Bears don't have a player you can build your offense around. And that's why they have a deficit in that area. And the coach is trying to run an offense that the quarterback can't execute. And other teams have figured that out. So it's a copycat league, and teams figure out in the NFL, and they figured out the Chicago Bears. The other game that I saw was Tennessee and Cleveland. And Cleveland had 18 penalties, man. That tells me that you got a new coach who doesn't know how to discipline his players, and he hasn't taught his players to be disciplined. You cannot win football games with 18 penalties. Every time you get things going, there's a penalty. And so he has a lot of coaching to do. He has a lot of learning to do about coaching. Has talent, but to me, when I watched that game, it looked like the old Cleveland Browns. So we'll talk about the other games as we go through the picks. Let's start up our picks in week two. We changed the order in week two. So the order goes Ice Water, Pop, myself, Puma, and Black Thor goes last. And the first game that we're going to talk about is Tampa Bay versus Carolina. And Ice, you go first. And I know you said in the first 40 that you're giving up on Famous Jameis.
Found my, I had a piece of paper with all my picks on it. Can't find it now. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
Oh no!
I can't find my paper. Oh my God!
You can't find the paper.
Oh my God!
At least you're watching, though. You're definitely watching this time around.
Yeah.
You're watching now. Okay. Okay.
All right. Y'all got jokes. So I don't even know damn paper.
Why you find your paper? Let me give you the results last week. Real quick, let me get the results from last week. I went 14-1-1. There was a tie.
Okay.
Black right. went 11-4-1 with Pop, so they're tied. And then Ice Water went 10-5-1. So he's bringing up the rear, but you find the paper yet?
I did, brother. You in trouble.
Okay,
all right. You know, I let you talk. I found my paper. You're now in trouble. Welcome to Death Row.
All right, Tampa Bay versus Carolina. Who you got?
Welcome to Death Row. Carolina, Tampa Bay simply just, there's nothing that can happen good over there on the road too, for Tampa Bay. Jameis Winston has to prove me wrong. I don't think he will. So Carolina thought they should have won that game last week. So I think they're going to roll at home.
All right. Top pick Carolina. And I pick Carolina Black. They're saying that these are two quarterbacks that are on the chopping block if they don't produce this year. Who you got, Black?
Well, I think Tim Rick quarterback is definitely Jameson. He's on the chopping block now because you can't change your coordinators every year just to kind of suit him, and he doesn't do him any good. I'm gonna take Carolina with this one. Like I said, they pretty sure won that game. But I'm gonna tell you something, man. At some point, Ron Rivera got to sit Cam down and say, "I need you to do X, Y, Z." Cam is too nonchalant. And the team is starting to follow his lead. And I watched them last week. They were in the two-minute drill. This team is moving around like they're in practice, bro. I'm looking, because that's the way Cam plays. They're looking around like, yeah, we got this. No, you got to get it. It's not that you got it. But it's his mentality, man. He's basically has rubbed off on that team, and they're too afraid to sit him down and straighten him out. They even have a harsh conversation with him and let him know this is what we need from you because people are watching. And your teammates are watching. If not, Rivera's not going to make it, bro. This team cannot basically have a bad season like they had last year, and then they come out there and come out with a shoulder. Not saying his shoulder wasn't hurt, but he needs to step up and lead dramatically.
Okay. Next game on tap is Arizona at Baltimore. Ice, what you got?
Yeah, Arizona tried to show some flashes at the end against a poorly coached Detroit team. But I'm going to tell you, Baltimore at home, I think they're going to get it done. It'll be good to see these two quarterbacks go after it. I like the way that the young quarterback for Arizona is moving, but nah, we're going to roll with Baltimore. I think they're on the roll. Baltimore.
All right. Kyler Murray made Papa believer. He's going with Arizona, the away team against Baltimore. I'm going with Baltimore also at home. Black, who you going with?
Yeah, I think this division is open for Baltimore. I'm going to take the Ravens at home.
All right. Next game on tap ice is Dallas versus Washington. This is a rivalry game. Washington is at home. Who you got?
Well, I'm glad it was a rivalry game. So was last week. Anyway, it's a new day going on in Dallas. They finally got some dang on receivers that can catch the freaking ball. They had some young guys in Gallup, guys that really want to play and want to show what they're capable of. So, with that being said, I'm going to run with by surprising you all and take the Dallas Cowboys on the road versus Washington.
All right, Pop loves those boys too, so he's going with Dallas. I watched Cobb yesterday, this game against the Giants, and I was wondering what the hell's going on with Green Bay to let Cobb go to the Dallas Cowboys. Because this guy still looks like he got it. So I'm going with Dallas. Black, who you got?
Yeah, he does fit that team perfectly, man. That slot receiver, he was basically all over the place. Yeah, it's easy to take the Cowboys to this one, man. Washington got off to a good start last week, and they couldn't sustain it. And that might be them the whole season, man. They might start well, but I don't think they can put together a good four quarters. And I think the Cowboys are going to start their best drive. Cowboys.
All right, next game on tap is Minnesota going to Lambeau against the Green Bay Packers. All right, who you got?
Well, let me look at my paper. What my paper say? Let me take a look at my paper. Anyway, I'm going to go with Minnesota on the road. Green Bay showed me a little something last week. I'm not buying it. I'm not saying I buy Minnesota, but at least they showed me a little something. I like their running back. I like the chemistry they were kind of building off on, and I like their defense. So I'm going to take Minnesota on the road.
Okay. Pop is going with Minnesota on the road. I'm gonna stick with Green Bay. I think, like what Aaron Rodgers said, they got a defense, and I think they'll key up on Cook. He had a great game last week against Atlanta. Atlanta doesn't have much of a defense anyway, but I'm going to rely on the Green Bay defense and Aaron Rodgers making that offense click. Black, who you got?
Yeah, I think the Packers are a few weeks away from really kind of gelling, especially offensively. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be okay in this offense. I think he still is going to find himself, and I think he'll be good. But this week, man, I'm going to take the Vikings. I think the Vikings really going to come in their head strong, knowing that this is basically a conference game for them that they have to really take. And they can try to do what they want to do with Cook, but this guy is playing fresh, man. He hasn't played this good since he's been in the league. So Yeah, if he stays healthy, they're going a long way. And even if they share Cook now, Minnesota can air it out, so I'm taking the Vikes.
All right, next game on tap, ice in Seattle, going to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers. Who you got?
Pittsburgh is a favorite in this game, correct?
I thought I saw that earlier.
Yeah, so when they're at home, everybody feeling good, they're going to get back on track. Not happening. I'm going with my boy, Russell Wilson. Get it done, baby! Russell Wilson, Seattle, over Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. All right, Pop hates Pittsburgh anyway, so he's going with Seattle. He even paused when I asked him about this one. I got to go with Seattle, too. They are playing. They have all the tools. They play with a lot of heart. Pittsburgh showed me no heart, and maybe they've given up on Tomlin. So going with Seattle coming in, and this is a hard one for me to pick because usually Pittsburgh, after a loss, when they come home, they can pull it off. But I'm not sure. They got to show.
Why are you taking Pittsburgh? Why are you taking Seattle then? If you're saying all that, why are you taking Seattle?
Because it's on my paper to pick. It's on my paper.
It's on my paper. I love it.
Look, Boomer. Hey, Black, it's on my paper.
Yes.
Thank you. All right.
I can't see your paper.
I have to take Jacksonville. Remember that back then? Come on now. That's okay. I'm gonna take Seattle, man, in this game here because Seattle basically, for some reason, they can start off slow, but Russell Wilson has a way, and I don't even know how he does it, man. He finds a way to grind games out and get his team ahead when it counts. So he'll do the same thing in Pittsburgh on Sunday. I'm taking the Seahawks.
Okay. Next game on tap is San Francisco versus the Bengals in Cincinnati. Ice, who you got?
Yeah. San Francisco tried to show a little heart last week, but I'm worried about their quarterback. I know that they had an issue. I think the running back they picked up from Atlanta just got hurt. So Bengals came out last week. Andy Dalton showed up. John Ross showed up. And Mixon is due. I like the Bengals at home.
All right. Pop is picking San Francisco. I am picking San Francisco. Also, Black, who you got?
I tell you what, I've noticed a change in even the energy of Cincinnati with this new head coach, man. And I like the way they came out and played Seattle. I think they could have really won that game. The quarterback made some mistakes down the stretch. But if he can clean that up this week at home, I don't trust the quarterback of San Fran. I just don't. So I'm taking the Bengals on this one.
All right. Next game on tap ice is Indianapolis versus Tennessee. Who you got?
Ooh, I would love to take Indianapolis for Jacoby Brissett because I want to see him do well. But I think Tennessee is kind of feeling some kind of way. And if the Indianapolis coach are not able to make plays, they're going to be trouble. I'm not sure it's going to be like Cleveland, but I think Tennessee is going to find a way. They're feeling pretty confident what they did to Cleveland. So I'm taking Tennessee.
All right. Pop is going with the Colts, and I'm going with Tennessee. Black, who you got?
It's a tough game to pick right here, man. I kept looking at this game. I kept going back and forth because the Colts, they came back on the Chargers on Sunday, man. They made it a game. Chargers had to kind of streak it out, but, you know, they made it a game. Colt Bissett, he really stepped in. But Tennessee outing last week kind of scared me and surprised me, man. So I got to go with them. I would like to pick the Colts, but that defense at home might just be a little bit too much, man. I don't like Tennessee's quarterback, but they can run the ball and they have a good defense. I got to lean their way. I'm going to go with Tennessee.
Yeah, Mariota kind of holds on to the ball a little bit longer than he should and doesn't make the decisions really quickly with the ball, making all his reads. And so that bothers me because I was screaming. I was working out watching the game and screaming at him to throw the ball sometimes. But if he can remedy that, I think he could be a solid quarterback, not one of the best, but a solid quarterback for that team. I expect them to kind of pound the ball with Henry. That's the guy that they need to just pound, get him the ball, get him out there and let him run and let the DBs try to tackle. Next game on tap is Buffalo. This is an interesting one. Buffalo versus the New York Giants. All right, who you got?
Let me look at my paper. Let me look at your paper. Anyway,
I'm covering it like a test.
I know you are. Yeah, so that's fine. That's fine. I don't need to this week. Anyway, Buffalo quarterback had a decent outing. They're trying to my old boy John Brown, formerly of Arizona, look real good. But and I know that Buffalo's the favorite in this game. But it's in Buffalo too? I did not know that. Just realized that. Okay. Anyway. My pick.
Yeah, is it in Lake Buffalo? City. I thought it was in.
I think it's in MetLife.
Is it MetLife?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking at it. Okay. Anyway, so let me move on because we only have so much time. With that in mind, I'm gonna pick the Giants to get their first victory of the season. I think Saquon Barkley, when they give him the ball, can make things happen. He could have kept them in the game a little bit with Dallas. They stopped giving him the ball. Guy's dangerous. I'm not sure Buffalo has the ingredients on defense to stop that guy. I think he runs wild, and they throw a couple passes to the tight end. The passes didn't work against Dallas last week. Some of them will work against Buffalo. So I got the Giants winning.
All right. Pop also picked the New York Giants. I'm going with Buffalo, man. I just don't trust the guy. I don't know where they're going. I don't know what they're going to do with Eli. They seem like they came in with a game plan last week, and they just diverted from the game plan, and I don't know what they were trying to do for the rest of the game. But I'm going to go with Buffalo. They impressed me coming back last week game when you thought they were dead to right, and they just came back and won that game. Black?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Giants, but I will give them this email, man. Stop rolling Eli out. He's not a roll-out quarterback. Let him stay in the pocket. Eli, if they do start to come at you, bro, you want to throw the ball out of bounds. That's what you want to do. Out of bounds.
He won't do it.
Throw the ball out of bounds. For the life of me, he's trying to make plays when that's not your game, bro. I mean, don't look at these young quarterbacks and get fooled. Your game is when they're coming at you, get rid of the ball, throw it out of bounds. If you take that mindset, I will admit, though, he played better than I thought he was going to play. And the offense looked better than I thought it was going to look. But I don't know where they found these cornerbacks that Giants have. And they can't guard. When you stay in that deep zone and can't tackle, you're in trouble. You are in serious trouble, man. These cornerbacks, I don't know where the Giants found them, but I don't think Buffalo's going to try to move the ball through the air that much. So Giants should better win this one at home.
You know, even and we talked about this, Black. Troy Aikman even pointed out with Eli is like, for a veteran quarterback not to do certain things that a veteran quarterback should do is mind blowing. It's mind blowing to watch Eli look like a rookie. It's mind blowing.
Yes.
You won the Super Bowl two times, and every time you go out, it makes it look like they were luck. That was luck. It was all the defense, and it's just mind blowing. And I don't listen to Troy Aikman most of the time. But I'm like, man, he's dead on with that. He is dead on with that.
He's right.
Game on tap. Yep, he's absolutely right. He looks like a rookie out there sometimes. This is rookie mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Next game on tap ice is the Los Angeles Chargers versus Detroit. Who you got?
Matthew Stafford found him a nice little target in that former Patriot. Well, okay. All right. Good for you. Somebody you can throw the ball to. Still don't buy it. Chargers have been looking good. Even though they don't have their running back, Gordon, the two replacements have been dynamite.
Yeah.
And Phillip Rivers is – their defense is nasty, and Phillip Rivers knows how to move that ball. So I'm going to roll with the Chargers over Detroit on the road.
Okay, Pop picked the Chargers. I'm picking the Chargers, too. They got those two brothers out there running back by committee for the Chargers. Got to go with the Chargers against Detroit. Just can't trust Detroit. Just can't trust them. Black?
Hey, Gordon, go get that $6 million, baby. Go get that $6 million, big Six going to turn to $3 million real soon, Cat. To Chargers with this, man. They don't need you, Gordon. I'm serious, bro. No one else wants you. Philly thought about you, but they're not going to take you. Go get that $6 million. The cat from the Steelers. You're not him. You're just not him, bro. Don't throw the whole season out. Don't come back week six, week eight. Go get that $6 million. Go play, bro.
Yeah. Next game on tap ice is Jacksonville versus Houston. There have been some talks and reports I've been seeing online that Jacksonville is going to pull in Kaepernick. I believe it when I see it. There, Foles gets knocked out the first game, and it almost seems like there goes Jacksonville's season. Who you got in this one?
Well, first of all, you're right. This is just a rumor. It's kind of like Floyd Mayweather going to box again. Anyway, in regards to Kaepernick, that's about as far-fetched as it may be. So I agree with you. Jacksonville's backup quarterback looked pretty good, even after Foles got hurt. I was impressed by that. But I don't think they have enough. Houston, even though Deshaun Watson is still running for his life, they look pretty good. They had a nice little 1-2 punch in the backfield. There, Carlos Hyde got a nice little run. The receivers are phenomenal, and I think they're going to, at home, they're going to get back on track, and they'll defeat Jacksonville.
All right. Top pick Houston. I pick Houston. Like, you're going to make it across the board, or are you thinking something different?
No, man, I do like that backup quarterback for Jacksonville. He stepped in and played well. As the weeks progress, he'll probably get even better. And it's sad for Foles, man, because he got hurt in the pass where he got hurt in the play where he laid that ball in there nicely, very nicely. So who knows? He'd have kind of been able to stay and play because they was in that game with Kansas City. But Houston will take this game, and they're back at home, and they have more than enough. If they can kind of keep the quarterback on the field to win this one, I'm taking Houston.
All right. Next game on tap is New England at Miami. We said in the first 40 and early on this show, I don't think we said in the first 40, but early on this show, I felt that the Miami coach, the team has just given up on them. And I'm not sure how many games they're going to win. But this is against New England, a division rival. Ice, who you got?
Well, if you remember, there was one game where Miami embarrassed New England, and they had a party.
Yeah.
Gonna be a party this time. I think they're gonna show they won't forget that. And the fact is so bad that I heard that Julian Edelman is gonna start quarterback this week for New England, and they still gonna make it raw happen. So I'm gonna choose New England.
The popcorn with New England. I'm going with New England. What do you say, Black? New England wins 120-3.
Yeah, it's a tree. I like that. Yeah, this game's gonna be over in the first quarter, man. Over in the first quarter. If they lay down against the Ravens, please, they're gonna take a nap against the Patriots. Man, they're gonna take a nap. It's not gonna be pretty. This one is not gonna be pretty. Ooh, wow.
After they clowned them last year too.
Yeah.
They clowned them after that miracle win. Oh yeah. Kansas City versus Oakland. Ice, who you got? This might be across the board, too.
Oakland's feeling pretty good. Gruden got his win. No AB, still got it done. Last week it was the Sammy Watkins show. This week it's the Kelce show. I'm going with Kansas City all day long.
All right. I'm going with Kansas City. Pop is going with Kansas City. Black, who you got?
Yeah, I think this game's going to be tight. I'm probably... would think it would be, but Kansas City will take it. I'm taking Kansas City.
All right. This should be the game of the week right here. You got New Orleans against the Los Angeles Rams, a rematch from the playoff game last year. Ice, who you got?
Interesting game. New Orleans has revenge on its mind. They didn't really play particularly well last week. I mean, Michael Thomas caught a lot of passes. They really didn't reach the end zone. I think this week is going to be different. I want to give a shout-out to my man, former Buckeye Von Bell. They didn't start him off. They chose him late in the draft. Dude is balling. He led that team in tackles last week. That dude's a baller. He's a monster. Anyway, but I'm going to go with New Orleans. One of the main reasons why, too, I'll give you a secret, is because the Rams are not they're going back to Super Bowl mode. They're not running Todd Gurley. That means an L. Told you that last year. That's what's going to happen this week.
All right. Pop is going with the Rams. I'm also going with the Rams at home. Black, who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Saints for this one. The Rams, I watched them last week. They don't look like the same team offensively. I know they gave that quarterback a lot of money. I think he got like over $100 million guaranteed. And I know he went to the Super Bowl, man, but that's a little premature. That's very premature. I just don't see it. That defense wasn't what it was. They might play better this week, but Saints got revenge in their mind, bro. They want to go in there. They want to really kind of get this one. I do think they'll play better this week. They were going to squeak out on Monday, but they'll play better this week. I'm taking the Saints.
All right, next game on tap is Chicago going out to Denver to play Denver. All right, who you got?
Wow, this could be the Philip Lindsay show. But he struggled last week, and they ended up with the running back, the backup running back that came along. Flacco's the quarterback at Denver, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with. As horrible as this is gonna hurt me and pain me, and I didn't think I would do it. I'm gonna go with the Bears, man. I'm with the Bears on the road. I think the defense is gonna rise to the occasion. They looked sorry as hell last week, and they can beat up on Denver. Denver's not that good. So John Elway, get ready for some misery. So I'm going with Chicago.
All right. Pop is going with the Denver Broncos. I'm going with the Denver Broncos also because I predicted that the Bears would go 0-2, start off 0-2 before they win the first game. Black, who you got?
I know I said earlier, man, I might have said it on the 40 that I can't pick Denver anymore, but I lied about that this week. I got to go with Denver, man. I just don't trust that. Excuse me, quarterback for the Bears. And he also playing. Even if Jake Cutler was back, I might have picked Chicago, but I think it's going to be a closer – yeah. Closer game at home, I think Denver will run away with it with the running game. And for every reason, I'm going to take them. I think their defense will play better this week, too, because look what they're playing against as far as the quarterback. The defense is going to feel better about themselves, and I think that's going to kind of push them to a win. Denver at home.
Yeah, and Denver's head coach used to be a coach with the Bears last year. So he knows
he's not
the Bears offense,
though.
And he knows – huh?
I don't think he's head coach.
He's not the head coach?
I think he's – no, he is head coach. I don't think he is. I don't think he is. Yeah.
Which is gonna be the difference in the game. Thank y'all.
Okay, we will see. Next game on tap is Philadelphia at Atlanta. Who you got, Ice?
Man, I just told y'all. Now y'all talk about certain things that I can't do it. I'm just going to hell not going with Matty Ice. I don't care. They could be playing in his living room. They're going to lose. Philadelphia will destroy and defeat Atlanta. They should anyway. Philadelphia.
Yeah. Pop picked Philadelphia. I picked Philadelphia. Black, who you got?
Easy pick here, Philly. I just don't see Atlanta kind of bouncing back. It's just, there's something about that team here again. Since that Super Bowl loss, they just can't put it together. They just can't. It's like they get in their own way and they bumble things around and this week, it'll be no different. I'm taking the Eagles.
All right. Philadelphia across the board. The last game for the NFL picks, we have Cleveland versus the New York Jets. All right, so you got?
Man, tough game. But the Jets, I thought they had that game last week. I picked them, and the dad going it, they should have won it. They laid down. They don't have enough. Cleveland's mad. They got destroyed, so they're going to take it out on somebody, a team that's a lot less significant than they are. So I'm going to choose Cleveland on the road.
All right. Pop, when I asked about this game, he's like, both these teams think. So he went with Cleveland, thinking the same thing you're thinking, Ice, that maybe Cleveland's mad. People talk about them in the Super Bowl, and they got something to prove. I'm going with the Jets. I'm going with the Jets at home. Black, who you got?
I'll say this, man. I like the fact that you give us an opportunity this week, man. I know you went 14-1-1 last week, but you really gave us an opportunity to move up this week. And I want to say, you know, some people just can't handle success, man. That might be you, bro. I'm not sure. Some people just can't handle it. They give it back to you. Give them a gift, and they give it right back to you. They wrap it up and give it right back to you.
my God. Free money. Free money, baby.
Free money, yes. Sam Darnold, the quarterback for the Jets, averaged 4.5 yards a throw last week, man. You're not beating nobody like that, bro. I'm serious, man, with the Jets. I mean, unless they're going to give the Bills the entire game some possibility, Cleveland won't do enough to win this game. Not that I'm a big fan of them, but I think they'll do enough to win this game. I think they were embarrassed last week. And OBJ is going to have to be home, and he's going to try to show out because New York is really his home. He's going to try to show out this week back in MetLife on Monday night. Oh, yes. He's going to show out. So I'm taking the Browns with this one.
Homer, just when I was getting comfortable in coach, you opened the door to first class again. Thank you, brother.
Don't speak too soon. You might have to be there.
Hey, next week is not your birthday, brother.
But we're going to come back with the Major League Baseball report right here on the Goose Squad Sports Radio Show.
Hold it now.
Can't let a brother enjoy his week. Can't let a brother enjoy his week. Always got to be on somebody's way. All right. Welcome back to Goose Squad Sports Radio. So all losers. With the Major League Baseball report with Ice Water.
Thank you. And we're not sore losers, but when you just do what you just did, and you made those picks, I was like, you like the heavyweight champion. They said you have a year to defend your title. Well, you took a month. You fighting again. You didn't go on Letterman. He's retired, my bad. You didn't get your money.
I'm a fighting champ. I'm a fighting champ.
Oh, okay. You're going to be an ex-champ here in a minute. Anyway, moving on to the the American League in the East. New York Yankees are still getting it done. They're up by only 8, though, on Tampa Bay, who's playing pretty decent baseball right now. New York is 7-3 in their last 10. Tampa Bay is red hot. They're 9-1 in their last 10. Boston Red Sox fired the man in charge. 3-7 in their last 10. They're 18.5 back. Just dismal. I guess they're ready for to move on to the next level. So Yankees are hot right now, or they're keeping pace in the Tampa Bay's charging hard, 9-1. Moving over to the Central in the American League, the Minnesota Twins lead that division over Cleveland by 5 games. Both teams kind of playing average right now, 6-4 in their last 10. Cleveland's trying. They better hurry up fast, though, because Minnesota's been playing some pretty decent baseball and playing average, which is to have the lead in that division. Moving over to the West in the American League, the Houston Astros lead that division by 9.5 over Oakland. Houston 7-3 in their last 10, while the Oakland A's were 6-4. I'm not sure what that score was before. I think it was 21-1. They beat somebody a couple days ago. Houston still has it. Kind of coasting along. I think they're going to be around in the postseason. National League in the East, Atlanta Braves are up by 9.5 on the Nationals. Atlanta did pretty well this past week, 8-2 in their last 10. They won some big games. I think they're playing Washington as we speak. No, they're playing Philadelphia. Atlanta's playing Philadelphia. But I think they had Washington before, and they were very impressive in that series. So they were able to increase their lead to 9.5 games. Philadelphia is 14 out. They were 6-4 in their last 10. Washington was 4-6 in their last 10. And the New York Mets trying to make a little run, at least to catch Philadelphia. They're only 15 out, 6-4 in their last 10. Moving over to the Central in the National League, the St. Louis Cardinals continue to lead that division by 4 games over the Chicago Cubs. Cubs 4-6 in their last 10. St. Louis 6-4 in their last 10. And look who's coming up very close, trying to make their presence known. The Milwaukee Brewers, 8-2 in their last 10. They're only 5 games behind St. Louis. Somebody better watch out for that man in Milwaukee. Moving over to the West, the L.A. Dodgers dominating 18.5 games over the Arizona Diamondbacks. They won 2 in a row, 6-4 in their last 10. Arizona can't get over the hump, 6-4 in their last 10. You can't catch them that way. So with that being said, some good series going on right now. Atlanta's playing Philadelphia. Also, Washington is playing Minnesota. Good ball games. We're getting very close, ladies and gentlemen. Like I told you, very soon it will be time for postseason baseball, and Black Thor can smile again. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
I didn't know this, Ice, but the Dodgers have won that division 7 years in a row. I mean, how many times do you win a division and get to the playoffs and not win a World Series? And my father keeps saying that the manager got to go because if you can't win the big one and you constantly win in the division, you need to go. And then the other thing is that Yelich, fractured his knee yesterday, and I think that's Milwaukee's season right there. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that as far as their season. I mean, he's one hell of a player, but that's not how they won before. They have a lot more, and it may not be as sexy. These other players may not be as sexy far as statistic-wise or their names, but they play well as a team, and I think that's where they got there. So I think that they still have a chance. Kind of move forward. In regards to what your dad said about the manager, if the Cubs let go of their manager, I think he would be apropos. He'd be good. It would be apropos for them to look towards him. And then again, what great story would it be in Los Angeles to have Dusty Baker come back and get the Dodgers a title as their manager? Sounds good to me.
Yeah,
but we'll
always
see.
We're always rooting for Dusty. Always rooting for Dusty.
We'll see what happens, but we'll see what happens.
All right. Now for the WNBA report, it's Black Thor.
Yeah, man, let's talk playoffs. You heard it correctly, playoffs. Yeah, the playoffs are here, man. It kicks off actually this evening. Right now, the simulation game is going on between the Phoenix Mercury and Chicago Sky. And Chicago Sky is having a way to, they're going to be moving on to play the L.A. Sparks if things continue on. Later on tonight, the Minnesota Lynx, we even thought at one time they were going to make the playoffs. They'll be playing the Seattle Storm.
Mm-hmm.
My prediction, they were going to take that game from Seattle. Seattle is down a couple of players, and they battled through, but I'm not sure if they can probably handle the Lynx. Sometimes the playoffs kicks in. I'm surprised the same thing that just happened to Minnesota, Phoenix Mercury. Experience kick in. I think the experience of Minnesota Lynx can get their past Seattle Storm. And if they do, they got Las Vegas Aces waiting on them to play. The Washington Mystics and the Connecticut Sun are waiting for the semi-rounds to play. So they got a little wait before they find out who they're going to play. And one of those two teams, I probably think, is going to probably win it all. I'm going to pick the Mystics this year. If Elodon can stay healthy, I think they will kind of bring home the championship. Chicago Sky, James Wade, named the coach of the year. His first year with the team, he's got him in the playoffs. And they're playing pretty good. I was watching them a little bit this evening off and on. And that team plays well. I love the way they move the ball. They play pretty good defense. Speaking of Elodon, she's on her way to might be becoming the MVP of this season. And not only that, she joined a rare club this year, which is really interesting. They call it the 40-50-90 club. She shot 40% from the floor, 50% from free throw, from the three-point line, and she made 90% of her free throws. This lady's on a tear this season. Also, congratulate Teresa Weatherspoon. Years ago, she used to play for the Liberty, and she went into the NBA Hall of Fame this past week. Congratulations to her. If you get a chance, please check out the playoffs these ladies are playing very good basketball. And I was thinking, as we were talking earlier, about the college team, not the college, the basketball men, they went over and got their butt kicked by France, whoever. Maybe I should take some of these women players with them and put them on the team and let them play and see if they can do better, bro.
Ooh, low flow, uppercut, uppercut. An Irish kiss. Oh, boy. Let's go to NCAA football. And Ice, tell me the games that in your eye test that stood out last week. And I know the Cincinnati-Ohio State game really stood out to you.
Why, pray tell, would you say that, my good man?
I can hear the smile in your face.
why would you say that? I mean, you know, just another game was no big deal. He just handled business. And, I think there was a lot of expectations there. A lot of people were expecting certain things, particularly with Ohio State and Cincinnati. But I think Ohio State was a lot more composed. Cincinnati was, I think they were a little shocked the way that the Ohio State's defense rose to the occasion and played. So I think that caused a major problem for them. But what can you say? Watching, I was a little bit surprised by Texas A&M and Clemson. And Clemson got the victory. I was surprised because I thought that the quarterback for Texas A&M, maybe because he was being pressured, it almost seemed as if he did not, he wasn't real comfortable, which not allow him to make plays. So with that being in mind, I think they could have gave Clemson a run for their money because the Texas A&M defense was playing it really pretty well. And Clemson usually, let's be real, has normally been able to dominate other teams. And to only win 24-10 shows you that there's some talent there for Texas A&M. I think they just need to learn how to rally the troops to move forward. Great game, too, of course, LSU versus Texas. Wow. Excellent game. LSU looks like it's trying to exit with Joe Burrow as a quarterback. They may be for real. Texas wanted to prove they belong in the upper echelon. For Joe Burrow to throw for 471, that's crazy. Texas needs to work on their defense. And I'm going to get off this and let you guys have the rest of it. The other part of it is, too, is I think I mentioned something. You might want to watch that Army-Michigan game. I'm going to leave that for you guys to kind of simmer. And then also discuss on, two overtimes.
Yeah, Michigan was very lucky to get out of that game. Very, very lucky. And they got a big one coming up this week against Wisconsin. That's not going to be easy for them either. Black, give me your eye test on NCAA football.
Yeah, Michigan game was very surprising. Another game, man, that I kind of talked about last week that was going to turned out different than what I thought. Maryland and Syracuse. Maryland bludgeoned Syracuse, man. My goodness. They took it to them. Man, did they take it to them. But the game of all games, man, for me last week is LSU. You know, I had Coach but LSU.
Gravel in his mouth.
Yes, man. It's hard to believe one time, not too long ago, this team was coached by Les Miles because they just opened up now. They look like a real college football team, if you ask me. They opened up now. It's no longer they get down by three and the game is over. But anyway.
Wow.
They battle. And I got to admit, man, I didn't realize Texas was going to be that strong this year. Texas looked better than what I thought. But those two teams really went at it, and they played very hard. And that was a good game, a very good game. USC, even off their quarterback, not available, took care of Stanford. I'm not sure if Stanford is a powerhouse that they used to be, but they did some damage that last weekend against Stanford. And, those are the games I had a chance to catch. And, you know, it seemed like some of the matches are starting to get a little better. So college football is definitely, I guess, rolling at this point.
Yeah, that freshman quarterback of USC, if I was the upperclassman that got hurt, I would be thinking about transferring at this particular point because he has the command of that offense, and it looked pretty good. The other game that I was able to see, of course, the Clemson-Texas A&M game, and what I thought was the difference in that game is the Clemson defense. They started blitzing those safeties and getting after Mons, and the game was over. I mean, he was seeing ghosts. throughout the game. Ice, you text me, it's like, what's happening at Texas A&M? He looks scared. I'm like, it's a safety blitz. The blitz is coming after him. And so I thought that was different. Clinton didn't pretty kind of it didn't really kind of wow you on offense, but they can. And it still seems like they're trying to get their stroke going. But that defense, once they got settled, they started going after that Texas A&M offense, and they were unrelenting. The other game that I got to see also is the Ohio State-Cincinnati game. I'm very impressed with Ohio State's quarterback. He just seems to me he's slow and he's smoother than the last few quarterbacks that I've seen at Ohio State. And I like the Ohio State quarterback from the last 5 years. But this cat, man, he's something. And I have to admit, the LSU quarterback, too. They're even talking about him contending for a Heisman. But if LSU can steady the ship and be consistent, then who knows? Maybe they'll get there. But they got to face some of the tough SEC teams like Alabama and like Georgia. So let's see if this offense, this high-power offense that they have, can contend. Because LSU's always had pretty much a great defense, but offense is always suspect with the running game and lack of a passing game, but they seem to have it now. And old coach Gravelmouth, I can't understand a word he's saying. They had him on ESPN this morning, I think on Get Up, and I couldn't understand a word he was saying. It was like they need a translator for him. I'm like, what are you saying? That's about a morning voice. So anyway, the other games that I know that I was impressed with Texas because Coach Hunter has those guys playing really hard. He has them playing really hard. But I'm looking forward to the games that are coming up this week. And one of the games that I'm looking for, I know people are going to be looking at Michigan, Wisconsin. They're going to be looking at Alabama and maybe South Carolina. I don't know. But Ohio State, Indiana kind of plays tough. I don't know what how they're going to play this year. But the game that I'm looking forward to watching black is the USC game against Stanford. Stanford dropped one early on against, I think, USC. And then the Michigan State, Arizona State, I want to check out also. And Boise, I watched Boise State last week. And, you know, they kind of grinded out a win. They beat Florida State the first week. They grinded out a win last week. But I'm kind of enamored with Boise State because they never get love, even though they had great seasons. But I kind of like watching them. But those are the games I'm going to be watching. Black, who are you going to be watching this week?
It was interesting, man. I'm still enamored by Maryland, man. They're taking on Temple. It should be a pretty interesting game. I'm looking to see how they kind of bounce back from that strong win against Syracuse. South Carolina against Alabama, I'm not saying I'm expecting a win, but I want to see them take at least take a bite out of Alabama, kind of hit them kind of hard and make them a little, at least it was in a football game. Wisconsin and Michigan, you know, this could be the point for Michigan where this season starts to turn and go opposite direction. So I will kind of pay attention to what they're doing because John Harbaugh at some point got to get this team over the hump, and I'm not sure if this is going to be the year or not. And Texas, even though they're playing Rice, you know, I'd like to see how they kind of bounce back after a loss so they can pull it together. And Oregon, even though I know their number 15, they dropped down a little bit, I'll still keep an eye on it, but I think that team can make a little run towards the end of the season.
There's another game, Iowa and Iowa State, that is a rivalry game. That may be a game that we peek in on also on Saturday. And I know in Chicago, Howard and Hampton are playing. I'm trying to get tickets to go, but I heard the tickets are running out. But who are you going to be watching next week?
You know how you can always get a ticket to Howard, and man, you better go down to the stadium, quit playing. Look, you know you can get in there. I don't know why you acting like that. You know that game is not going to be sold out.
I don't think I had the pull I used to have.
After the first quarter, they stopped taking tickets. You already know how that's going to roll down there. Anyway.
Don't tell the secret.
My bad. I'm sorry. But, I will be looking at You mentioned USC versus BYU. I'm interested to see that, especially with USC having to go on the road. Arizona State versus Michigan State. One other game we didn't mention that I want to see. And just because of the fact that this man's job is on the line, you have a great opportunity here. Florida State versus Virginia. If you're not going to win, this is a great opportunity. If they're winning, they made all the excuses about Florida State. Now they said they're getting it together. That has not happened the first couple weeks. But now this is a great opportunity for them to play Virginia on the road. Virginia's number 25. So if it's going to happen, it should happen this week. If not, then the time might be up very quickly for Florida State's coach.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to get this done against Virginia. Virginia's pretty good. Virginia is pretty damn good. So I don't know if Florida State can handle them. And I say by week five, this coach is gone because they barely won the game last week. Barely won. I mean, barely won. Any other things, Black, on NCAA football that we missed?
No, that comes for me, man. That basically covers it. Bring the games on, baby. Bring them on.
All right. Ice, you got any other things that you want to add on to?
Yeah, just that Maryland, man. I think I told you guys about that. I like Maryland. I think the fact that they had a former Alabama coordinator as coach now, he's opening things up. They were already had attitude. You can see the way that they played Ohio State last year. Those young men are hungry, had attitude, and I think they want to win. And what better way than to have somebody that's been to the big time to come on and somebody that really loves Maryland and to move that program along. I'm very happy for them.
Okay. Two more games you might want to peek at. Penn State against Pitt and Washington State against University of Houston. Those are games you might want to peek at. Let's take a quick break. And then, Ice, I haven't heard too much about boxing. I'm waiting for the Errol Spence fight, but it seems like boxing is in the low. I thought September was a time where boxing kind of hits its heyday all the way up to the end of the year. Well, maybe you are hearing some things that I'm not hearing. So we'll come back. We'll see if there's any boxing news that we need to stay abreast of with the Boom Squad Sports Radio Show. We'll be right back. Sports Radio Show. We're going to talk a little boxing. I'm going to turn it over to Ice Water because I know he does another boxing show on another podcast, and you can shout them out if you like. But I haven't heard too much boxing news. Now, I heard some MMA news. You might want to touch upon that. But what's happening in boxing, bro?
Yeah, well, I mean, there might be some fights that may not be as exciting to people, but they're worth tuning into. A lot of people don't understand that. Sometimes when you watch some of the smaller secondary fights, then that kind of paves the way for great matchups, and you get to see certain people making their way up the ladder, moving up the ladder. One thing I wanted to look to point out is the Manny Pacquiao's next possible opponent. I was talking about they wanting to fight the top big names, but it might be Mikey Garcia. Mikey Garcia refuses to go back down to 135. He says he's going to hang around 147 or 140. And Manny Pacquiao took on the Young Lion. I want to use that name incorrectly, but he took on the Young Lion and beat Thurman. And now to fight Mikey Garcia would be a safe match for him. And it would be a great opportunity for Mikey Garcia, and I think Pacquiao thinks he can win that too, which keeps him around in the boxing world It keeps him legit for a little bit longer. One other fight I think might happen coming up could be Canelo Alvarez versus Kovalev. It means Canelo would have to move up to like light heavy. It would be an exciting fight. I think Canelo believes Kovalev is getting old after what Andre Ward did and so many other people have done to him.
Right.
So Canelo might think that's easy pickings. One other fight I want to throw at you that may happen, or we hope it happens, significant. Gervonta Davis gave up his smaller belt, weight class belt, and he's moving up to lightweight. And we know who's that lightweight, or who may be moving up to a little bit to super lightweight or junior welterweight. But that name is Lomachenko. Mm-hmm. So I would love to see Gervonta Davis versus Lomachenko. And they're talking about it, and they said that it could happen. I think that would be an excellent fight. Lomachenko looked pretty good in this last fight. He actually had a real challenge. And you got to give him kudos to that. The other boxing show that you mentioned I work with is a group called Real Boxing Talk. And we do it a couple times during the month. And with myself and gentleman Frank Gordon and John Rosparati. Really good show. Comes on. You can catch it on YouTube as well. And we have fun with it. We have fun with it. One of the things I wanted to say out to very quickly is check out The Reality of Sports. I'm really trying to pump up the Goon Squad sports radio show along with some other things, and I've dropped a couple of articles on there for you to think about. Again, check out that article. Don't hate the player, hate the game. My man Puma shouting me out, appreciate that. And we try to do something. I'm trying to keep you guys updated upon some things, on some real sports talk. Check us out.
Yeah, much love to Frank Gordon too, because I always see his name on our page, supporting articles and you know, just giving us a shout out. So yeah, big ups to him. Black, your first question for the questions from the Goons.
I don't really see this get covered too much, but the state of California, man, passed a bill where that college athletes can be paid for their likeness and their wear. It kicks in if the governor signs it. And it kicks in 2023. Is this something that other states might follow suit?
I'm not sure if they will follow suit, but they need to, simply because all of the money that's being made off of these college athletes, and then even to a point where it's put into a trust fund until a certain amount of time, certain age, then I think they should. The only problem you're going to have is you're going to have a lot of perhaps jealous athletes. Because everybody thinks they're going to be able to use their likeness. And we all know how that rolls. It's usually the more popular or the more productive athletes that are really going to be getting the money. So while you might say it's open to everybody, the more popular or the more star-oriented players are the ones that are going to reap those benefits. But I think it should happen.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen with other states. And I think the story, I remember reading something about this a few months ago where this is going to happen, and California was spearheading this movement. And I think this came out of the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit, too, where you don't see those NCAA football and basketball games anymore because they had the likeness of some of the current players, and they weren't getting paid. And so I think it's what I do think is going to happen is that if California jumps on it and their recruiting goes up, you will see other states kind of doing that and running to those teams in those states, those college teams. So I think it's a smart move for California to do it and jump on it first because they know the better they recruit, the more revenue they can produce. Black, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think other states will follow. I think it's going to take a couple more key states, but yeah, I think other states are going to jump on the bandwagon, and it's going to open things up a little bit.
Okay, Ice, your first question.
Yeah, I have not seen this yet, but my brother told me about it. He saw it. And, man, I know it sounds like a broken record, but I think this show is going to really provide how sad things may be with a certain individual. And I'm talking about the 30-30 about the 30-for-30 on ESPN about Dennis Rodman. If you didn't know his story before, you get to see it full-fledged, and he really tries to explain why he is who he is. And to me, I haven't seen it yet, but it's sad. I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on that.
Black? Yeah, I saw the promotion for it, and I was debating back and forth if I really want to watch it because I wasn't sure why ESPN was kind of digging up in Dennis Rodman and kind of doing a 30-30 on him, but I guess I might be intrigued to pay attention to it, but I'm just hoping it's not too sad, man, because here's a guy that really could play, man, that his antics kind of brought him attention, but Dennis Rodman stepped on the floor. That route's a good ball. I mean, he didn't mind doing the grunt work, getting the rebounds, and he specialized in doing what he did. He did it well. So I'm just hoping that it's not a real bad story, but to hear you say that, it kind of makes me intrigued more to kind of pay attention. But at first, I was just wondering why ESPN kind of basically digging him up.
Yeah, I recorded it, and I plan on watching it either tonight or tomorrow when I get some time. But I haven't seen it yet, but I was hearing some of the sports reporters on Chicago radio talk about it. And these were guys who actually interviewed him during the heyday of the Bulls' run for those championships. And they were saying they were surprised on things that they really didn't know. One of the things that they brought out was that Rodman's mother really kind of did a job on him, not showing him affection, not giving him hugs, not showing him that love that he really needed. And he was pretty much a loner and a kid that didn't have friends. So his sisters used to dress him up in girls' clothes and kind of have him around as their friend because he didn't have any friends. And he hung out. I guess they made him kind of dress like that and hung out. So, you know, when you flash forward to, you know, his antics wearing a dress and all that other stuff, one of the reporters said, you know, that when he asked him about it and he asked him, he said, well, you know the repercussions if you do this because during that time, you know, you had the Magic Johnson with AIDS and folks were, you know, speculating on how Magic Johnson got that. And so he realized what the repercussions was. He didn't care. And he talked about ending his life and that there was something that would come to him and say, no, don't do that. But it seems like a real sad story about a guy who found his talent. And another thing they brought up is that he didn't really start drinking until he got to San Antonio. So he was kind of a guy that didn't use drugs, didn't drink when he was with Detroit and the Bad Boys, and how when Chuck Daly went away and he didn't have that kind of father figure, that the wheels kind of came off. And so I'm interested in seeing it. I was trying, it was on yesterday, and I was recording it, and I didn't want to kind of catch it in, you know, in the middle of stuff. I always like to watch it from the beginning. But it should be interesting to you never really know the person until you hear the person's story. And so throughout all his antics and all that other stuff, you could tell that there was something going on with him that he was trying to resolve. Even going to North Korea and how he kind of reacted and all this other stuff about getting upset and always crying and being emotional. That there was something in his past that, demons that, are still there for him. Ice, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with that. When I say sad, I think he's such a complicated individual. We know what kind of player he was, relentless on the court. But when you look into his story, it's easy to say, well, he should do this. And some people might say, well, he had everything, but some people, we look so much into what they do as athletes that we really don't understand the person. And you mentioned about his mom and then not having his father around. And I know you mentioned about North Korea, and there was, I think there's something talking about how he was one of the, he's like the reason or something. They talk about why America was able to talk to North Korea and things like that. And a lot of people laugh about that, but they said, no, it's real. But my whole point is, though, even with North Korea, deep down in his heart, I think he thought he was making a difference and trying to make change for everybody when a lot of people just didn't see it that way. They thought he's more of a clown. He should be quiet and stay in his place. But I think genuinely that's who he is or who he thought he was, what he's trying to do. But despite all his money and everything that he's done, his life just seems like a damn train wreck. And it's sad to me. Because you've had what we consider everything, money, experiences of a lifetime that people would just, they would love to enjoy. And you're still sad.
Yeah. Black, your second question.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of him now. I'm interested in finding the stuff to kind of look at him because I always kind of, at, you know, back in the day, I thought Dennis Rodman always did things for attention. I noticed something that came out. I mean, I know it's kind of a joke, but I'm going to throw it out there. It's not super, super sports related. But and I kind of hate to bring his name up. But LeBron tried to trademark Taco Tuesday. And he got denied for the most part. So my question is, if you have the time to look at LeBron in a telescope, where the hell is his head? And right now, where is his head, man? Because the fact that you try to trademark something at Taco Tuesday almost says to me, you believe, well, I'll leave my response to you guys after you guys give yours.
All right. Sound a little muffled there, but
I'm sorry about that. Yeah,
I'm gonna give it to you, because I heard today that Ohio State is trying to trademark D before the Ohio State too. But I'm gonna let you tackle Taco Tuesday with LeBron first.
Well, they got a better chance than LeBron. There's a lot of things going on at the Ohio State University, baby. They got a lot more. They got a better chance. But, no, I mean, LeBron, I don't know. Maybe he did it for a publicity stunt because he has a lot of a big following of his Taco Tuesday antics. Everybody's talking about it. A lot of people following him. And maybe it was – I think it's more of a publicity stunt. I mean, even though they might have actually tried. But the fact that, you know, we talk about it, it's another way for LeBron and his crew to keep their name out in the public. Now, that has nothing to do with basketball, of course. But I think LeBron literally and his group is trying to build a brand. And I think they're working on it. That might piss people off because it's not about basketball. But dude is making moves. He's making moves. And how many people are talking about that? Watching them talk about Taco Tuesday. I'm like, everybody says that. But LeBron makes news because his filing was denied. Wow. How simple is that?
Yeah. Here's my thing with LeBron. You kind of have, like, he does some great thing, and then he does things that are bonehead. But he needs to be careful of doing something so much of a bonehead move that he just ostracized, like, his brand. I mean, just really hurt his brand. So, you know, I understand that, you know, it's fun with Taco Tuesday. I don't get into it. I don't even watch it. But ESPN seems to like air it like every time that he does it, every Tuesday. But if he's not careful, he's going to do something really cause damage to his brand. And, you know, sometimes you have to know that, you know, I'm kind of coasting here and I'm good. I don't need to do anything extra to make the brand greater. But I don't see, it seems like he hasn't gotten there yet where he understands that any little misstep that he makes can lead him to a section I always call Where Are They Now? Like with VH1 where they had the stars who were like booming at one time and then all of a sudden everything dries up and then they do a show, Where Are They Now? And he needs to be careful that they don't do a show about him, Where Are They Now? Black?
To me, the thought of trying to patent Taco Tuesday tells me he has no idea about Taco Tuesday and He's like you said, it's a bonehead move. And I understand, you know, what you're doing with your brand and trying to get out there, but you have to be smart as the things you approach. I don't know if you guys saw it, but he came out, too, with a video where he wants to help the NFL with their helmets. And he came out with this glass helmet, see-through. And he put out this video saying, because the NFL players aren't seen when they're playing, and they this allow their face to be shown, and that people will know that they're human beings. But it's and you think at first it's a joke, but he's dead serious. It's like he's taken on things that has no chance of becoming reality. And I don't understand. That's the point. I mean, I understand you're trying. We all try things, but you're taking on these things that has no chance. The helmet was so small, and you can't put pads in it, and it will not truly be a stop concussion. But he thinks it's a great idea. And it's almost like the people around him that sometimes just say, but no one will because it's LeBron. LeBron, that's not going to work. But and it just seems like he's just reaching where he doesn't have to. You already have something seriously established. Build on that with something concrete instead of just going out here making yourself look like a bonehead at times.
All right. Like you said, find your niche. Hang in there. All right, we've got 5 more minutes left. Ice, you have another question?
Yeah, real quick, former Arizona basketball assistant Emmanuel Book Richardson told FBI agents that he paid $40,000 to a high school coach to ensure that former guard Riley Alkins was academically eligible to play for the Wildcats. So basically, the coach was supposedly paid $40,000 to add a class, a passing grade to a transcript so a kid could play.
Cool.
Amazing. What do you guys think?
Black, you know what amazes me sometimes, man? These cats that they pay all these money for, sometimes these cats don't even make it snap. I mean, and which is really interesting. So, I mean, I'm not surprised, but that's a lot right there. Damn. $40,000? But, yeah, it does surprise me because it just keeps getting – I mean, the sport itself is so dirty. But guess what? March comes around, who cares? Who really cares? But that college basketball is filthy, man. Filthy from the top to bottom.
Yeah, it's almost like people who do things like this are doing this as an investment. They don't know whether the kid is going to make it or not, but they invest in them so that when the kid does make it, they get remembered and rewarded, you know, for doing what they did for that kid. So this is not the only story. It's just that this guy got caught. As far as when you just said it, it's like, okay, this is not new. The guy got caught. But Ice, what are your thoughts about it?
Well, it's not new, but it just comes back to the point of when things like this come out and then we talk about that investigation, we hear about it, but nothing's done. Why are we even talking about it? That's what ticks me off. We talk all this stuff and all these investigations. Nobody's going to jail. No schools are on probation. What's the purpose?
Yeah, yeah. Last second shot, Black.
Woo! Last second shot. I'm here watching Seattle Storm take on the Minnesota Lynx, and I'm looking in the stands, man. This is a playoff game in Seattle. Yeah, they might have won it before, but no one comes out to really support these games, man. So it really makes me wonder how much longer can this league really survive? If you can't pull them in playoff time, when are you going to pull them in?
All right, last second shot.
Yeah, it's a little unique here, a little different. I don't know if people know this, but I really love thoroughbred horse racing. I'm a big Triple Crown advocate. And they are now reporting that Justify, who in 2018 won the Triple Crown, actually failed a drug test 1 month before the actual 2018 Kentucky Derby. So we received all this hype and everything like that, and the damn horses, they drugged the horse and whatever happened, and he should not have been able to participate. Makes you wonder, man, is everything corrupt? Don't answer that.
Wow. My last second shot goes out to Jamel Hill. I know years ago we had said that we wanted black athletes to kind of think about going to historical black colleges, that the money and the advertisers would follow you there. And Jamel just came out and said that. And I commend her for stepping up and saying that. She is not a person that is shy about expressing her views about 45 that's in the office or anything that is plaguing the black community. So I commend you for making that effort, putting it out there. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. That's our show for tonight. Make sure you check out the First 40. And if you miss any part of the show, you can always come right back to Blog Talk Radio here. For Ice Water and Black Door, we will see you next week. Later.
Puny protozoa, you're so minute you didn't know the gang has been watching you, but instead of just squashing you, I'm scooping you up out of the muck you wallowing like a chief chemist. Other scientists are following, planning to examine you on a petri dish, sticking you and fricking you. Just a teeny bit, I'm clever with science, but never reliant on falsehoods from cowards who forever be trying. Insisting they come off, I let them get some off, then come back with drum tracks, their ears could get numb off. Blockbusting, like making.